You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Inside the War Room, presented by Sports Illustrated on the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I am your host, Tyler, joined with my two guys, as always, for episode number 3. Dante Saray, how you boys doing today?
Doing good, my man. We're ready for Senior Bowl week that starts on Monday. We're recording this, obviously, on Sunday. You're going to be there, which is exciting. We'll have somebody on the ground. We have a good show planned to kind of preview the week, preview the game, throw out a couple names, and talk about some players.
Yeah. Like we mentioned, we were going to talk about the Senior Bowl. We're going to mention a very stacked roster. I was telling Dante and Saray this yesterday. I'm like, this is one of the best Senior Bowl rosters, if not the best I've ever personally seen. I mean, this is a very stacked roster, a lot of very good players, a lot of players that are going to be drafted early in this NFL draft, this upcoming NFL draft. And, you know, with all the uncertainty with the combine this year, we don't know what that's going to happen. This is going to be a big day for a lot of these players, and we're going to get into some guys that need to have a very big showcase this week, and, you know, some guys that might be some underrated guys. So with that being said, I want to get into some guys that have a lot to prove at the Senior Bowl, with that being the quarterbacks or any position. And I'm going to go off to Saray, man. Who is someone that you're looking at the Senior Bowl roster and like, I need to see some improvement, where maybe he could really improve his draft stock here, or, you know, maybe he just had a subpar season. Like, who is that one guy you're looking at?
Mac Jones, quarterback, Alabama. Listen, one season as the full-time starter, he did appear in some blowout games. And then, you know, when Tua went down in 2019, he played the back end of the Michigan Bowl game. He played in the Auburn game. Showed some flashes, but this year he had an incredible year. The offense really, you know, didn't lose a beat. He's very fluid. He was a very accurate passer. I just think that you played on a roster where, let's be honest, possibly – first round picks at multiple positions, right? The receiver position, running back position. Mechie's not even draftable, and he possibly could be a first rounder in the future. So he just played around a ton of talent, and the life was made easy for him. He threw from a lot of clean pockets, right? You have Leatherwood. We all know about how good the offensive line is. Everything was made easy for him. We could be honest. It was made easy for him, right? And they just tore through competition, and it's not a knock on Mac Jones. It's really maybe credit to Nick Saban and how they recruit, how they build, and how they – just consistently just restack, right? They don't lose talent. They just redevelop it. And that's just – he was the credit of that. He was just – walked into a great situation. You know, he had to wait his turn. Jalen Hurts was there. Tua was there. And, you know, thinking for a kid like that who just – he never got to – he never wavered on himself, right? There was times where it got hard, where he, you know, maybe I should quit, maybe I should move on. But him and his dad, there was the ESPN thing they did. You know, him and his dad came up with goals for him. And, you know, it was just goals he set for himself when I become the starter at Alabama. So it was never if, it was more of when. And when he got the opportunity, he made the best of it, man. Incredible year. Now you're seeing a lot of mocks with Mac Jones in the back of the first round. So the Senior Bowl is going to be important for him because teams like Pittsburgh, where Ben Roethlisberger can't play forever, Mason Rudolph is not really that great of a football player. We know Dobbs is not that great. You signed Dwayne Haskins, who's got immaturity concerns. You got to find a solution to the quarterback position. And I'm not saying Mac Jones is the solution, but the Senior Bowl is going to be huge. We've seen a lot of quarterback prospects who have upped their stock become Senior Bowl week, right? You perform well in front of a ton of scouts. Whose roster is he on? Is he on the Dolphins roster or the Panthers roster? I'm not sure.
I believe the Dolphins, if I'm not mistaken.
Dolphins.
I didn't see him on either roster last night. So I don't know if like they just haven't decided yet or what the deal is with that.
He was a late add-on. I know that because he just committed just last week. He was one of the later ones to, you know, join the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
Because I saw all the Alabama guys on the Dolphins. So I just assumed
we did get Najee and Devonta, just, you know, not to flex or anything. You know,
and
just,
you got Leatherwood, Brown. So you guys got all the Bama boys.
Feeling pretty good, but he's not listed on the official Dolphins roster. I'm looking at it right now, so okay. I don't know what the deal is with Mac, but he has definitely accepted his invite. He will be there somewhere.
Yep.
Well, he's there is all that really matters, right? He'll be there. He's going to perform well, hopefully. It's easy to evaluate guys going in t-shirts and shorts. I don't know. I really think he's got the most improved just from a standpoint of everything was, you know, you really 1 year as the full-time starter. You had this great season. You won a national championship. You showed amazing flashes. I think the Senior Bowl is important just because you're not playing with all world first round talent at every single position, right? That's not the same. You're going to be playing with a lot of guys who you don't have chemistry with. You're going to have to build that chemistry through 7-on-7s, 1-on-1s, practices. It's going to be really, really important. Learning NFL verbiage from the coaches that are coaching the Senior Bowl. So if he can prove that he can show that he can play with more than just, you know, first round Alabama guys and just overall just the Senior Bowl roster as a whole, I think the Senior Bowl can be really huge for him. Again, like I stated earlier, the Senior Bowl is important for quarterbacks, man. You go have a good week and who knows what happens for the next few months, right? You leave a good impression, you interview well, you practice well, and you really show that you can be an NFL starting quarterback. I would not be surprised if we see Mac Jones' name being called in the background around one. It's not something I would do, but it's an NFL, it's a quarterback needy league, right? So if he performs well, I think he has the most to prove.
Yeah, that's a very good player to bring up. And I agree for the most part. I think Mac Jones, obviously, with the limited experience, he's going to have a lot to prove in this Senior Bowl week. So that's going to be very interesting. A very good roster, too. So a lot of good receivers he'll be throwing the ball to, which we'll get more into. But I want to talk about another quarterback that will also be at the Senior Bowl, committed a lot more earlier than Mac Jones, and that's Kyle Trask. Kyle Trask is just one of those quarterbacks kind of in that same Mac Jones situation where he could be like a late, you know, back-end first-round pick maybe, or day two pick potentially. It's kind of weird where Kyle Trask, because he's almost kind of this year's Jordan Love, if you want to say. Like, we don't know where he's really projected to go. Like, Jordan Love ended up being a late first-round pick, but like Jordan Love at the time last year was like, ooh, maybe he could be a top 15 pick. Maybe he's a late first-round pick. Maybe this guy's just not a day one pick at all, and he's a day two pick. Kyle Trask is almost in that same situation where I'm not as high on Kyle Trask as much as I was on Jordan Love last year. I'd take Jordan Love over Kyle Trask, but that's not the point of this question. Kyle Trask this year, you know, he was in the Heisman candidate race all year and, you know, technically took significant strides to being a better quarterback this year from his junior year. But, you know, when I look at Kyle Trask, there's still so many concerns with me with him. Like, I just don't know if this guy is an NFL quarterback. Like, there's nothing about Kyle Trask where I'm just like, wow, look at Kyle Trask. Like, he doesn't have that big arm. He's not really mobile. And his like awareness is like whatever to me. Like, there's just a lot of questions with Kyle Trask. So I kind of want to see, you know, what some first round picks going to be there, you know, with a lot of good NFL talent, future NFL talent going to be at the Senior Bowl this week in Mobile. I kind of want to see how Kyle Trask performs, because almost like Mac Jones, he had a very good situation in Florida. I'm not going to say as good as Mac Jones in Alabama, but he had a very good situation in Florida as well. And I think the jury's still out on Kyle Trask. Right now, I'm personally not really high on him. I don't think he should be a first-round pick. I think, if anything, he is a day-two pick for a team that really needs a quarterback, and a quarterback that can maybe, you know, he could sit behind over like a veteran potentially. But as of right now, I think Kyle Trask has a lot to prove, almost like Mac Jones, just because he doesn't show me anything on film where I'm like, look at Mac Jones, like, or look at Kyle Trask, look at that big arm. Like, I don't see it. Like, there's just nothing that really like eye popping for me to Kyle Trask. So this is a very big week for Kyle Trask to see if he could have that, you know, maybe that eye popping throw, maybe, you know, in the Senior Bowl game, which is like people take that with a grain of salt, the game more than the actual practices. You know, maybe we see Kyle Trask move around the pocket pretty well. Like, that's going to be interesting. But overall, I just kind of want to see Kyle Trask make some big time plays and see what he can do, because right now there's just not really much to evaluate right now where I'm just like, this guy needs to be a first round pick. Like, it's very hard for me to say he should be a first round pick. So I'm very interested to see what Kyle Trask does in Mobile this week.
Yeah, you guys make two good picks, right? It's basically, you know, who's the battle, right? The battle for QB5 is basically what we're talking about. And there's always, every year, right, we seem like, okay, here's the top group of quarterbacks. They're going to go probably in the top 10, maybe the top 15. And then it's who's the next guy, right? Some years it's, you know, that might be a QB3, QB4. We have a good group this year. So it's QB5, and they're kind of battling it out for who might be that, like, late round pick at the back end of the first round. I agree. I don't see a lot in Kyle Trask. So I think it'll be a big week for him. My guy, you know, I'm flipping over to the defensive side of the ball. I'm dipping into the defensive tackles. Marvin Wilson is one that needs to show up and have a big week in the Senior Bowl. On our old podcast, I proclaimed over the summer that Marvin Wilson was the best defensive prospect in this class before the season started. So based off of his 2019 film, and I will die on that hill, I thought his 2019 film was the best that this class had to offer. Sadly for me, Marvin Marvin Wilson came out and laid a stinker this year and really just did not play well. And I feel comfortable saying that now is, you know, hey, look, we're officially on the SI network now. We can talk about that openly. That's cool. I feel comfortable saying that because the film backs it up pretty conclusively. I mean, his film against Notre Dame is like UDFA caliber stuff. I mean, they abused him for four straight quarters, and it really just was not great. You know, but then you flip on the tape against Miami. He's hustling around. He's making good plays, good quarterback pressures. You know, Florida State got freaking washed out in that game anyway. That was a blowout. But Wilson showed up for that game, and you saw the tools that made him so successful early in the 2019 season. So not only does he have to prove that he is still relatively dominant in the trenches, and he'll get an opportunity to do that in 1v1s, I think that he's got, you know, the ability to show a little bit more pass rush juice, which is when I came with that take in the summer. A lot of the pushback that I got from people who are significantly more plugged in than me was like, hey, the NFL is not that high on his ability to rush the passer like you are. And that's something that I consistently heard, and that kind of came to fruition this year. And I think that, you know, Wilson will have an opportunity to kind of get over that hump in the Senior Bowl. You know, one-on-one drills get a lot of publicity, a lot of stuff. You know, teams are really going to like to see that. He has heavy hands. He's very strong. He's very powerful. He's big. There's a lot of good traits there, but he's got to prove it. The other thing, the flip side of this too, is that his medicals are going to be big. You know, the past two seasons, you know, he's gone out with injuries at the end of the year. He did not finish here at FSU this year. He broke his hand, and that's why he went back to school. He could have come out after the 2019 season and probably been a top three, you know, round three pick at least. I think that's probably his floor. He might have gone higher than that, probably the top 50 or top 40. And, you know, I really think that he's got an opportunity to rebuild his stock this year and at the Senior Bowl. So his interview process is going to matter to me. His medicals are going to matter. And the play on the field is going to matter, because this is a guy who really just struggled, you know, this season. He didn't look stout. He didn't look explosive. But there's a big vacuum in the defensive tackle class right now. Like, there is not a bona fide DT1 in this class. I think a lot of people point to Alabama's Christian Barmore, but this class is really looked at, you know, not a lot of people are super high on it. Wilson's got an opportunity to assert himself, even if he comes away as, like, I don't know, consensus DT2 or 3. You know, he might be a top 50 pick, even if he's just able to climb that high, because this is a low class, and we're seeing teams invest in that need heavily, you know, every year. Right. So, like, these guys are going to come off the board at some point. So if Wilson has a big week, he might be able to increase his stock. Also, I need him to have a big week so I look like less of an idiot, which is also why I'm on this Marvin Wilson train. I need to revitalize my stock as a draft analyst.
Yeah, for sure. I thought that was a good point, because we looked at Marvin Wilson before the year, and I remember looking at your big board. This was like midway through the college season. He was like a top 30, top 20 player still. So, no, I agree, man. And you brought up good points about the interior defensive line class not being, you know, all that, you know, much depth there. So this is going to be a very big week for Marvin Wilson. And, you know, he's got the opportunity, guys, like, over guys like Barmore, guys like Quiddy Pay, where he can maybe solidify himself to be, you know, number one, number two, and he can maybe crack that top 20, top 30 in the NFL draft. So it's going to be interesting. So with that being said, that was our first topic. Guys that have a lot to prove in the Senior Bowl, let's get into some underrated players that maybe you could keep an eye out for the Senior Bowl. And I'm going to start off with one. I'm going to stick with Michigan, man. The guy that opted out of the year, Nico Collins. Nico Collins, it was a wide receiver, obviously, in Michigan, if you don't know who I'm talking about. But I remember last year in this process, we were talking about Nico Collins. And I talked to Jordan Reed. Put sirens on me because that was unnecessary. I shouldn't have said that. But I talked to Jordan Reed last year, and the consensus was that Nico Collins could potentially be as early as a day two pick. Like, people were very high on Nico Collins. And I'm not going to say that right now he's a day two pick, but he has a lot to prove at the Senior Bowl, and he's kind of underrated in that aspect, because he sat out this year. He opted out of the year. And, you know, looking at his teammate, Donovan Peoples-Jones, he fell. He fell last year in the draft. He fell all the way to the fifth round or sixth round to Cleveland. He really fell. And Nico Collins opted out of the year. And now he has his opportunity where he could play in the Senior Bowl, because DPJ didn't have the opportunity to play in the Senior Bowl because he was a junior at the time. So Nico Collins has a time to really prove himself to be kind of, you know, maybe a early day three pick, maybe a late day two pick. I could see that if he has a very impressive week. I mean, overall, he was pretty impressive at Michigan, and that was with a very bad quarterback with Shea Patterson. I think me and Dante talked about this. Shea Patterson was one of our lowest quarterback ranks, like, ever. Like, as far as, you know, we've been watching and for the draft and scouting for the draft, well, he was, like, both one of our lowest guys, and I think Saray could agree with that. Shea Patterson was not good. He stinked. And Nico Collins, I mean, he still was pretty solid under, you know, with Shea Patterson. This guy, I mean, he has all the traits to be a very good NFL, you know, receiver. I mean, he's lengthy, he's pretty fast. So I'm looking out for Nico Collins this week, especially after opting out. It's been a while since I've seen Nico Collins, you know, being a Michigan fan too. We haven't seen him since the, I don't even know if he played that game. I was going to say the bowl game versus Bama, but he might have even sat out that game as well, if I'm not mistaken. So it's been a while since we've seen Nico Collins play. And I'm kind of looking out for him because he was a guy I was looking at last year. I'm like, this could potentially be a day two pick. And that might be my bias of being a Michigan fan, but I'm interested. I mean, this class is just as stacked as last year's at the wide receiver position. So, you know, maybe he went back to college, you know, last year or this year, thinking maybe this class won't be as stacked and maybe has a better opportunity to get picked early. Unfortunately, that's not the situation that Nico Collins has, because this class is just as stacked, if not even more stacked than last year. So it's kind of a tough position for Nico Collins. I'm going to be looking out for him, though, this week in Mobile. He really impressed me at Michigan. So, you know, maybe he has an impressive week. You know, maybe he could be that Chase Claypool. Maybe he could be that Denzel Mims, because those were guys, if we brought up their names last year around this time, like the day before Mobile, we'd be talking about, okay, these are day three picks, maybe UDFAs, especially with Denzel Mims. Those guys really had really good weeks in Mobile, and Claypool ended up being a day two pick. Denzel Mims, I believe, was the fifth or sixth receiver taken off the board. And we were talking about Mims potentially even being a first-round pick. I mean, we're amateur scouts at the end of the day, but, I mean, I don't know. This is going to be a very important week for Nico Collins. I'll keep an eye out for him.
Well, you mentioned a lot about Nico Collins. There is a very well-respected draft analyst who has him comped to Vincent Jackson, the old Los Angeles Chargers and Tampa Bay wide receiver. I will let you know off air.
Man, Vincent Jackson for Nico Collins. Okay, all right.
Yeah, again, he's very well-respected. I'll leave it at that. However, he does, you know, I think he is best suited for a vertical passing offense. I do like the Nico Collins option there. My most underrated receiver for the Senior Bowl, Cornell Powell, wide receiver from Clemson. An incredible story. Fifth-year senior. He was at Clemson since 2016, so he kind of seen all the receivers go ahead of him, man. A lot of talented receivers come from Clemson that he just couldn't get on the field. He had some academic issues in 2018 and very inconsistent football player. It took him a while to buy into the Clemson culture. And you know how Dabo Swinney is, that he's all about culture. If you're not buying into the culture, then it's hard for him to get you on the field. And that's kind of the situation he was in. I mean, I'm not in the Clemson program, so I don't know the full story. From what I read, he was an inconsistent practice player, inconsistent football player, and it just took him a while to really learn. He was a late bloomer, and that happens with prospects all the time. Everybody is not going to be that ready to start day one type of guy. And that's kind of what happened with Cornell Powell. Fast forward to this year, man. He had, look, three straight 100-yard games. And I wrote this down to remember this. Three straight 100-yard games against Boston College, Notre Dame, Pitt. And we've seen how he cooked Sean Wade against Ohio State in a college football playoff game. Dude, he is a polished route runner. He has a big frame. He has strong hands. He can play above the rim. Dude, I like everything about Powell. I think somebody who's just, again, an incredible story, kind of like Mac Jones, had to wait his turn to get on the field. And when he got opportunities, he had a good year. Over 50 catches this year, 7 touchdowns, over 800 receiving yards. He just did it all for Clemson. He was an unsung hero, a surprising player and prospect that nobody really thought would turn into a Senior Bowl guy. And possibly some people have him listed as UDFA. Some people, you know, have him as a, you know, day four type of guy. It really just depends on what it is. I personally think the dude can get drafted, right? You go have a really good Senior Bowl and you perform well against these scouts and in front of these coaches, a team like Miami, who's coaching the Senior Bowl, who can use wide receiver help. I'm not saying they should spend a day three pick on the dude, but if he's available and he's not drafted, then, hey, man, be my guest. Bring him in. Sign a guy, you know, put him on the practice squad. See what he can do. Is, again, he's just had an incredible story. And like you talked about last year, man, guys like Mims, guys like Claypool kind of went in there and just had a good week of practice. And the week of practice at the Senior Bowl just goes so far, because everybody's watching, everybody's evaluating, all of the media world is there, all of the scouting community is there. maybe not this year because COVID kind of screwed that up. But again, Cornell Powell, wide receiver from Clemson, somebody to watch out for. He's not getting a ton of buzz. I mean, he's a known guy after the performances he's put on this year, so he's kind of put himself on the map. But Senior Bowl is going to be very, very huge for him.
Just to correct Saray very quickly so no one attacks him, there's no day four. I think he meant day three, but he said day four on accident. Just to correct him. So
did not
no,
say day four. I yeah. wouldn't make that very clear. I'm very, very clear. I mean, say day four.
Just wanted to make sure because Dante was even about to correct him. I could tell that. So I wanted to make sure before I got that and before Dante.
Yeah, I like heard it and it didn't process at first. I was like, day four, what? No. But I actually want to kick something back to you guys since we have some time here is like with Nico Collins, right? Like, how important do you think the Senior Bowl is going to be for the guys who opted out this year, right? Because like we just haven't seen them in forever. Yeah. Like Collins is one example, but a lot of even like the small school guys coming in, like they didn't play this year. Like yeah. we haven't seen them in a long time. So I'm just curious, like, you know, how important do you think the Senior Bowl is going to be for them?
Oh, it's way more significant than years previous. I mean, last year was pretty significant. I mean, we had a college football season, which was important, but like, you know, last year we didn't have pro days where, you know, scouts and coaches could all attend. It had to be virtually. So, you know, this year is going to be just as important. And especially guys like Nico Collins, like you mentioned, who opted out, it's going to be very important for him to have a very good week because, like we said, I mean, he hasn't played since 2019 and it's been a while. So it's going to be really interesting to see how, you know, what he did this past year. Like, did he get bigger? You know, is he faster? Like, it's going to be interesting to see how much he's developed, I guess, over that year, not being at Michigan and not being in a college style program for a whole year and see what he kind of did on the side and how he prepared for this. Because I mean, that was the thing with, you know, a lot of guys opting out. That was the big concern is like, how are they preparing for the NFL draft now? And that's going to be a very big question for not only Nico Collins, but all the guys, like you mentioned, that didn't have college football seasons this year. So with Nico, yeah, it's going to be very important to see, you know, how he looks. You know, he has to show improvement, obviously, because this was a guy we were looking at last year, you know, maybe late day two, early day three, or just a day three pick in general. So, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see how he developed and obviously all the other guys that didn't have college football season this year. So, yeah, it's going to be very important.
I was just going to mention something quick. I expect these players who didn't play last year and, like you said, it didn't play since 2019, expect them to be a little rusty, right? I'm sure Nico Collins has worked on his game, has been training, right? He's been out there running routes, staying in shape in the weight room, all that good stuff. But it's one thing to practice and it's one thing to play the game, right? It's one thing to go up against good competition consistently, which is probably something he hasn't had an opportunity to do for a while, just simply because, like you said, he just hasn't played football in a while. So another reason why it's the Senior Bowl is extremely important. He may be a little rusty, but he can put on a good week of practice and have a good Senior Bowl game, I think he'll be fine.
Okay. Yeah. I just think it's something that we should probably touch on just because I think it's a really interesting aspect of the game this year, right? It's just that we're starting to get these players back that we just haven't seen them in forever. And one of my concerns with Nico Collins was like, I mean, I don't know if the dude's fast. Like, I don't think he looked particularly fast on film. Maybe Tyler disagrees with me there. But, like, you know, if he comes to the Senior Bowl, he looks, like, slim, cut up, nice body, and he runs well. Like, that's a huge increase to his stock. Like, that alleviates, I mean, 75% of my concern with his game. And you know, I don't know about a Vincent Jackson comp, but whatever. We can touch on that off air. But so my guy, and again, I went away from you guys at the defensive side of the ball because, you know, you guys are just leaning into it here. Quarterbacks and receivers, get a little creative, guys. Come on. So I went with Deo out of I cannot, you know, I had his name.
Well,
I had
to hear guys' names first before you judge us.
Hold on.
It is hard to pronounce his name. Extremely
Deo
hard.
Odedangbo. It's Odedangbo. That's how you pronounce it. I had the pronunciation guide up. I was ready. Odedangbo. I'm just going to keep saying it until I get it. Yeah, so he's my guy. I wrote an article about him for bluechipscouting.com, and basically I just comped him to Slenderman because that's what he looks like on the field. The man's arms just go on for days. Like, he literally, like, he could, like, touch his kneecaps, like, standing up. Like, he's just incredibly long, and he's able to functionally use that length really well. Does a really, really good job bench pressing linemen off of his chest. He's able to disengage. I was really impressed with how quick and explosive he is. Vanderbilt kind of uses him, on the edge, but they also kicked him inside as a three tech and as a nose tackle, which is where I thought he was really, really fun. He beat up, I believe it was the Mississippi State Center for about 3.5 quarters. He had like 2 sacks and 2 TFLs on the guy, just absolutely abused him for pretty much the entire game. And I think what makes him really appealing is that you've got someone who's 6'6", 275 with really, really good explosiveness, really, really long arms. I think he's a three tech. You know, Vanderbilt liked to play him around at the edge spot as kind of a 4-eye tech or a 5 tech spot, but I didn't really like him there. I didn't think he had the juice to win outside consistently. Didn't really have a ton of inside rush counters. I think he can win on the inside track, but on the inside, I mean, his length is just simply put a problem. I mean, he 2 gaps really, really well. He occupies blockers really, really well, and he's got an interesting ceiling just because, like, you have so much of his body that can be developed. You have so much positional versatility up front. If you want to play him at the 4-eye tech and ask him to just, you know, be a good run defender, be stout at the point of attack, set a hard edge, if that's your scheme, you know, if you're the, you know, a Belichick style defense, you're looking at the Patriots, the Lions no longer, my team, the Dolphins as well. Tyler's very happy about that. But, you know, those defenses are going to value a player like this who's very, very stout in the run game and can do those things. And I think if you can tap into his pass rush upside, his length, his explosiveness, his power, his long arm bull rush, I mean, just naturally by the separation that he creates with his length, I mean, he can push the pocket pretty easily. It does not take him a long time to get back to the quarterback because he has such an advantage off the snap. So I think you can really work him into as a modern defensive lineman. And that's something that I am trying to get better at scouting, is trying projecting these guys into what we're seeing the NFL value right now. And he is someone that I think they'll value. I think you bring him in on third downs early in his career and rush him from the nose every time. 3rd and 12, let this guy get after a center, man. He's athletic. He's long. He's going to give those guys problems in the middle. Maybe you don't want him doing that, you know, 1st and 2nd down where there's a threat that they're just going to run it down your throat. I get that. But honestly, I thought he was pretty strong. You know, obviously you don't want him to be the nose tackle 100% of the time, but I think he held his own in there pretty well. And I'm really interested to see where he lines up in the Senior Bowl. That's going to be the big one for me, is, you know, do they view him as an edge? Do they view him as an interior player? I think he's an interior player. I just don't think you're using his skills correctly on the outside, but the Senior Bowl lines up players based on what NFL teams tell them, right? So like Jim Nagy goes to them and literally is like, where do you see this guy? Where do you want to see this guy? And then they play that player there and they run them through those positional drills. So that's going to be a big one for me. I think he's a really, really fun sleeper. He's currently a top 40 player on my board. I've done his final film evaluation. I'm extremely high on him. He's not going to go that high. He's super weird, but I really think that you've got endless potential in this kid's frame. I think the baseline is a lot higher than people think it is. I don't think his floor is that low. I mean, you're just getting a player at worst is a very good run defender. And I think that there's still some value there and you can kind of work with that. The question is, how can you tap into that pass rush upside? I think that's what makes him so underrated in this class. But yeah, you guys tapping into that receiver group, how crazy is it, right? And we can kind of pivot to this before we end the show, is like, we're talking about this receiver group, right? And like 2 of our sleepers are from Michigan and Clemson. You know what I mean? Like, that's how deep this class is, right? Is we're like, hey, the fifth year senior from Clemson, who was like wide receiver 5 last year, is like a legitimate guy that we're all really interested in. And Cornell Powell was really good. And then Collins, the guy who opted out, but like from Michigan, a blue blood program. So really, really deep group. The defensive tackle side, not as deep. And that's why I'm high on Deo from Vandy, because I just think that you have so much potential there with him that you can kind of tap in and work into that. So I'm excited to see it this week.
Dante, I know you haven't been able to experience this in a while, but like speaking from perspective now, getting away from that Patriot tree, it's so nice and appealing to like finally be able to watch other players. And like, you know, this actually might be an option for the Lions now. Like, I could actually talk about these guys as a potential option for the Lions. So it's intriguing. I love it. But that's my little rant or whatever you want to call it. But
I actually have a good question for you guys really quick.
Yeah.
Shoot. Before we go. And I'd like to hear your comments on this. Najee Harris just had an incredible season, incredible career at Alabama. And I'll make this brief. What does he have to prove by attending the Senior Bowl? Because I don't think he has anything to prove. And it's not a knock on the Senior Bowl. It's not a knock on Jim Nagy. Nothing like that. But just from a prospect standpoint, somebody who just had an incredible season, right? You win a national championship. And man, had a lot of touches, right? What do you guys think he has to prove as far as the Senior Bowl? Because I don't think he has much to prove. He's RB1 in my opinion.
I think Yeah, he finishes RB1 for me too. I think what he has to prove really, or maybe it's not even really what he has to prove. I just think it's an opportunity to like meet with teams, talk with teams, get in the room with these guys. I think you look at what we're, you know, dealing with this year, right? The combine, we're not going to have athletic testing at the combine. Interviews are going to be virtual. I mean, this might be the only opportunity that Najee Harris gets to physically meet with an NFL coaching staff. So I think maybe it's less about on the field and more about off the field. You know, this is an opportunity for him to officially weigh in, you know, show what he can do in front of NFL scouts. If you've ever been to the Senior Bowl, if you've watched practices, you know, like, I mean, honestly, like, you don't really get much out of the running backs anyway during Senior Bowl week. Like, there's just not a lot for them to do. I mean, they don't matter anyway, so who cares? But, like, the point is that, you know, Tyler just gave me the most disgusted face in the world. Running backs don't matter, bro. I'll die on that hill. But, you know, I think for Harris, it's more about the off field than the on field. You know, it's just that limited opportunity to see NFL teams, limited opportunity to talk to people this year. This might be his only shot. So I would assume that's probably his thinking. I think it's smart that he's going personally.
I was going to say the same exact thing, and I was going to allude to Devontae Smith. Like, I know he's not participating in anything on field, but like, this is just a good opportunity, like we mentioned, with the limited things happening this year. Like, a lot of the bowl games got canceled. Not like Najee Harris was going to go to any of those bowl games regardless, so that doesn't matter. But not a knock to those bowl games, obviously, either. But, like, it wasn't going to happen. But, you know, with Najee Harris, I thought Dante brought a very good point. Like, it's just getting the experience, having, you know, some staffs in the NFL actually getting to know you in person, which is very important. And then, you know, have some fun. Have some fun in Mobile. Like, go on the field, go look good, you know, go impress scouts. But like, as far as, you know, production and what we need to see on the field, we don't need to see anything. Like Saray said, I mean, we don't need to see anything. He's already proved it at Alabama this year, and there's really nothing else to prove. I mean, he has nothing. Like, I don't need to see anything from Najee Harris this week where I'm like, oh, that's new. Like, we know what Najee Harris is, and it's a very good player. And yeah, from that standpoint, it doesn't really matter. But I think what Dante brought up is, you know, meeting these teams, that's very important. And that's going to be important, guys, like for Devontae Smith, because like, if Devontae Smith was playing, I mean, what does he have to prove, right? Like, I mean, he showed everything that he needs to do at Alabama this year. So same thing with Najee Harris. He'll actually be on the field, unlike Devontae Smith. But I think it's just a very good opportunity for him just to, you know, kind of get his name out there a little bit more and talk to these people, and, you know, teams get to, you know, actually know who he is personally, because there's so much limited opportunities this year. So you know, this is a very good opportunity from that standpoint for Najee Harris. And I said standpoint like I'm Matt Patricia. See, freaking,
he's rubbing off on you. You had him for too long. Yeah, he rubbed off on you. The other point that I'll bring up too, and just briefly here, is that like, I think people forget how important the people side of scouting is. You know, like, we're amateur scouts, right? Like, you know, we spend our time just grinding hours of tape, right? Because that's the only information that we have. And I think we forget how much the people side of this stuff informs NFL teams. They care about interviews. You know, they care about that stuff. And you get that stuff at the Senior Bowl. They care about your etiquette in drills. We don't care. Like, we don't even talk about that stuff. You know, like, teams care about that stuff. Coaches care about that stuff. You know, you're going to go to, and Brian Flores, like, I don't know if you guys have ever seen a Brian Flores practice. He demands a lot of a lot of people. You know, he's very, very intense on the practice field. Like, he is not interested in you, you know, screwing around. Like, he runs a very tight ship. And coaching staffs talk to each other. So if you're Najee Harris, if you're Devontae Smith, Tyler brought him up, another really good name. And in that, you know, you get to show up, and at least Smith, you know, he sits through meetings. You know, he shows that, you know, he can learn an NFL playbook. He can apply those things to the field. And coaching staffs talk to each other. You know, people are going to call the Dolphins. They're going to call Brian Flores and be like, hey, you know, what'd you think of Smith? How was he in meetings? What did he look like here? Blah, blah, blah. So the people side of this, I think a lot of times goes under the radar for us because we're not privy to it. We're not on the field. We're not an interview rooms with these guys, but coaching staffs talk to other coaching staffs, and the NFL cares about this stuff way more than we do, obviously, and it probably should be that way because we're not there. We don't know what they say. So I do think that goes under the radar, and I think that's why we're seeing guys like Smith and Harris go this year, you know, because of the circumstances, because this might be the only opportunity they get to prove themselves in person.
Yeah, and it just goes back to, like, we were talking about Dwayne Haskins earlier in the show, like, look where that ended up happening. Like, maybe we were talking production-wise back in that 2019 class, this could be the second quarterback taken off the board. He ended up being the third quarterback taken off the board. So, like, was it a personality thing? Like, it's interesting. So, yeah, I agree with Dante. It's a lot more important than we care about just because we don't get that information. So, it's like there's no reason to even talk about it. But, you know, as far as evaluating from an NFL standpoint, like the coaches and stuff, you got to totally understand, you know, it makes sense. It makes sense, obviously, like we mentioned with the limited opportunities this year. But do you guys got anything else to add on this episode? All right. With that being said, hope you guys all enjoyed this episode of Inside the War Room presented by Sports Illustrated on the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. If you guys enjoyed this episode, if you could leave a five-star review on any podcast network you guys are listening to, it helps us out a lot. And with that, I'm out, guys. Peace.